Wonderful to have you with us on KPCC. I'm Larry Mantle. I deeply appreciate your financial support of Air Talk on this Giving Tuesday. It means so much to us. The Makah tribe in the Pacific Northwest on the Olympic Peninsula hasn't hunted whales for two decades, but that could change as early as next year. The Makah are asking the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, for an exemption from the Marine Mammal Protection Act. This is a case which pits some environmentalists against tribal communities, where whale protections are something that often goes against the notion of tribal sovereignty. The Makah argued that in addition to whaling being a deeply culturally and spiritually significant, that whaling is a right specifically granted to them in an 1855 treaty. That treaty ceded 300,000 acres of land to the federal government, and in exchange, the Makah, in exchange for a cash payment as well, they were granted the right to whale. However, with the gray whales being endangered for a number of years, the Makah voluntarily stopped whaling. Now that that population has rebounded, they're asking for the right to be able to take a few whales a year. Joining us is Patrick Findays DePoe, council member and treasurer of the Makah Tribal Council, which has a population of about 2,000 residents in Nia Bay on the Olympic Peninsula. Sir, thank you very much. We appreciate your being with us. Share with us the importance of whales and of whaling to your tribe's culture.
Hello, thanks for having me. When we really dive into whales and the meaning behind it.
Sir, can you get a little closer to the mouthpiece on your phone? You're just a little faint.
Can you hear me now?
That's better. Thank you.
Okay, well, diving into this, when we talk about whaling with respect to Makah, this is we over and over tell people that it's central to our identity. It's is part of who we are. This is something that was so important to not just us currently, but our people in the past, that it was explicitly written into our treaty. And now this treaty was a beautiful breakdown with what you just said. Was it didn't come cheap. It was 300,000 acres of land ceded to the U.S. government while reserving certain rights, fishing, hunting, education, healthcare. Whaling was part of that, and you can look our treaty up. It's online, and it can be seen. And this is a contractual agreement between the Makah tribe and the U.S. federal government, and it's been ratified by Congress.
Your tribal flag, as I understand, has a whale on it.
This is correct. So, whaling to our community, I guess it has a strong relation to health in our community as well. And so the significance between the whale on our flag is being held by a thunderbird. And there was a time of famine in Nia Bay. You know, the stories tell a time of famine in Nia Bay where it was constant storms and you couldn't get out to the ocean. And so we prayed and and a thunderbird came out of the mountains, went into the ocean to pick up a gray whale and bring it to the beach for us for our survival. And there's a lot of stories that have a lot of similar ties to that one. But when you get down to the root of it, it's all about health for our community. It comes back to healing for our community. And it really comes back to, the significance, the cultural importance, the nutritional importance, the spiritual importance.
Now, back in 1999, that was the last time there was a tribal hunt of whales, and there was at least one whale, I understand, that was taken. Was the whale largely used for food, or was it used for any other ceremonial or practical purposes by tribal members?
It was largely used for food. Some of the materials for the whale were used for I guess you would call them handicrafts, but the majority, like the bones, were actually gathered by my class in 99, as we reassembled the bones in our shop class back at the high school, and then we raised the whale at the museum. So the whale it can be seen right now in our local museum, and that has a kind of a hot and cold with it. is we look at that whale and we remember the pride that we felt that day. We remember the excitement, the, you know, the camaraderie between the tribal members that day. But at the same time, we don't want to sit there and look at that whale and just remember it as a part of history. And that's kind of where we're at right now, moving that it's been 20 years since we've been back out on the water hunting.
We're talking with Patrick Findes-Dupoe, council member and treasurer of the Macaw Tribal Council, the tribe in the Pacific Northwest on the Olympic Peninsula, last hunted a whale in 1999. And I understand back at that time there were death threats and that there were people who were so enraged by the hunt that there were concerns for the safety of tribal members. If you get federal government approval to take 2 to 3 of the gray whales each year, are you concerned that there could be, that kind of response again now?
You know, I always worry about the safety and well-being of my community, you know, my tribe's people, is something that's always a priority. And I was in high school in 99. And, you know, that was when my life first got, you know, my life was threatened. And it was through a bomb threat from the Sea Shepherd. The Sea Shepherd threatened to blow up our school. They threatened to blow up our senior center. They threatened to blow up our Head Start. I believe a school even in Tacoma, Washington, which is nowhere near Nia Bay, also received a bomb threat just for being a tribal school during this whaling process. There were people outside of our tribe that had T-shirts and bumper stickers saying, "Save a whale, kill a macaw." You know, it was a really, really nerve-rattling time.
So obviously the resumption of hunting after 20 years is important enough to tribal members. You're willing to deal with the potential for that kind of violent threat.
Well, you know, I heard that you guys actually have Sea Shepherd Legal online with me right now. And so it'd be nice to ask them directly if this is going to be the same kind of things we're going to expect from them. You know, because I would hope not. I would hope they wouldn't be putting our children, our elders, lives at risk for practicing something we have a legal right to do.
We're talking with council member and treasurer of the Macaw Tribal Council, Patrick Findes-Dupoe, with us from the aforementioned Sea Shepherd Legal, executive director and co-founder Catherine Pruitt. Ms. Pruitt, thank you for being with us. Let's take that issue of threats that were made against members of the Macaw tribe. Would you anticipate that there would be those kinds of threats if whaling resumes?
So thank you for the opportunity to be on the show, Larry. So first, I just want to point out that Sea Shepherd opposes the intentional killing of cetaceans no matter the circumstances. It doesn't matter by whom. It doesn't matter where. It doesn't matter when. We do this in the Faroe Islands. We do this in Iceland, Japan, Norway. Our opposition to whaling is categorical. It's uncompromising. The other thing I want to point out is that there are some serious misconceptions on who was involved with any threats. Sea Shepherd never threatened anyone. Yes, Sea Shepherd had a presence during that last hunt in 99. That wasn't the very last hunt. There was also an illegal hunt conducted subsequently by the Macaw. But that particular hunt, Sea Shepherd had a presence. But there were many anti-whaling protesters there. Those people, other people, were the ones who were actually potentially threatening schools. Sea Shepherd never takes that type of position.
All right. Catherine Pruitt, let's talk about the legal issue here. Mr. Findes-Dupoe says the law is very clear here that there was an exchange of this huge amount of acreage to the federal government in exchange for the right to whale, that the tribe voluntarily, when the gray whale population was endangered, voluntarily suspended that right. Now that the population is robust again, they're reasserting that legal right. So how do you see it from a legal perspective?
So one thing that's very clear is that the treaty must be consistent with the conservation purpose of the Marine Mammal Protection Act. The Marine Mammal Protection Act sets forth, or the MMPA sets forth, a national policy to prevent marine mammal species and population stocks from diminishing. The primary management objective of the MMPA is to maintain the health and stability of the marine ecosystem. So that's really the premise for it. But not only that, when enacting the Marine Mammal Protection Act, under which this waiver is being sought, Congress mandated that conservation, including maintaining healthy populations of marine mammals, is the highest priority. And the legislative history of the MMPA makes it abundantly clear that the precautionary principle must be applied and that any bias must favor marine mammals. So what that means is we need to look at what's going on right now, not what was happening at the time the treaty was signed, but right now, since the MMPA is in effect. And that is, we have, yes, there is a larger population of recovered eastern North Pacific whales that the macaw would like a waiver to be able to pursue, but even those whales are at great risk right now. And there are two smaller populations of gray whales. They can't tell the difference, the larger population or these smaller ones that are at a heightened risk. And I can tell you more about that, but there are significant concerns about the potential loss of any of those.
Now, the smaller ones you're talking about, those are the ones that feed along the coast that don't make their way all the way to Alaska?
So there are certain ones called the Pacific Coast Feeding Group. Currently, last count, there were 232 of those left. And those are the ones that you often see up close to the coast, coming up to whale-watching vessels, feeding for long periods of time. They exhibit something called high sight fidelity. They stay in certain spots for a long time. There are summer resident ones also that are present right in the macaw customary hunt area and are at significant risk of being hit. There's also a second, not only hit, not only hit by a harpoon and shots. They take a long time to die, by the way. But also, they will be harassed significantly. It's another form of take under the Marine Mammal Protection Act. During hunts, during attempted hunts, during...
Now, given all the knowledgeable marine biologists, people who know the whale populations, wouldn't it be possible for members of the macaw tribe hunting party to... have along with them people who are highly knowledgeable about which whales are part of which populations to assure that those in the smaller group are not harassed?
There are people who go out every single day and watch whales and have identified them, but sometimes they make mistakes and are not able to tell the difference between two different individual whales that they see commonly. The other problem is that they can't tell the difference between a pregnant whale, a female whale, a whale that might be nursing if the calf isn't nearby. So you're not able to tell the difference, one, between these different populations, the one that might have 20,000 left and the one that might have 232. And then there's a third population, the Western North Pacific whales, that are actually listed as endangered in the ESA, the Endangered Species Act. You could accidentally strike one of those or otherwise take one through harassment. And now you've lost a significant segment of that population when you're talking about low numbers of 232 whales.
Aren't there already hunts that are undertaken by Russia-based native tribes, and has that caused a problem with the population of gray whales?
It's hard to say. Of the greater population of eastern North Pacific whales, they don't seem to have significant impacts, but it is difficult to say exactly what the long-term impacts will be of this.
Because isn't the 2 to 3 whales a year that the macaw tribe is looking at taking, isn't that part of the allotment already provided to the Russian tribe, which isn't taking its maximum?
So the Russian tribe, over the course, so in Russia, a number of whales are killed every year. The number of whales that they kill is reported to the International Whaling Commission, the IWC. So, but those whales, they never actually meet their quotas. And I understand that the National Marine Fisheries Service, or NOAA Fisheries, has argued that they're not going to meet their quota, therefore, or I'm sorry, that if they still have space in their quota and the macaw don't hunt these whales, that they'll take them. But because they're never meeting that quota, that will never happen.
All right. We're talking with Sea Shepherd Legal's Executive Director, Catherine Pruitt. We're talking about the opposition that she and her organization have to the resumption of whale hunts in the Pacific Northwest by members of the Macaw Tribe. We'll get back to Patrick Findes-DePoe, who's a council member and treasurer for the Macaw Tribal Council. I welcome your thoughts on the Air Talk page at kpecc.org. You can also tweet at AirTalk. We'll be back in just 1 minute. Great to have you with us on AirTalk. I'm Larry Mantle. Hope your day is going well. We have some big political news. Los Angeles City Councilwoman Nuri Martinez has been elected by her colleagues as the next president of the LA City Council. She's the first Latina ever to hold that position. Joe Buscaino has been elected as council president pro tem. Again, this after Herb Wesson, council member, stepped down as the president of the LA City Council. He said he wants to focus on his election effort to win a seat on the LA County Board of Supervisors. So once again, LA City Councilwoman Nuri Martinez has been elected as the next president of the LA City Council. Also, in case you just joined us, a high-ranking official with Senator Kamala Harris's presidential campaign has told multiple media outlets that she is suspending her presidential campaign. A video is expected later today in which she will formally make that announcement. Again, Kamala Harris dropping out of the presidential race. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. I also want to update you on where we stand with today's Giving Tuesday, a very important day in KPCC fundraising. As you probably know, around the world, it's Giving Tuesday, an opportunity for people to support, again, the organizations which provide deep meaning and service to their lives. And we're asking you, as a listener to Air Talk right now, and someone who appreciates the kind of in-depth programming that you get on KPCC, such as this conversation right now of tribal legal rights and culture versus concerns about a population of mammals, 866-888-5722 or kpecc.org. That's where you can make your contribution right now to assure that we fulfill a $10,000 challenge that's been issued by supporters of KPECC. We now need to hear from 240 KPECC listener members to unlock the challenge. 866-888-5722 or kpecc.org to make your contribution right now. We go back to our conversation with Councilmember and Treasurer of the Macaw Tribal Council in the Pacific Northwest, Patrick Findes-DePoe. So, sir, your response to Catherine Pruitt of Sea Shepherd Legal's claim that it's going to be very difficult to discern which of the whales are part of the robust versus endangered subpopulations, and that that's going to put stress on the endangered portions of the population?
Yes, thank you. So I'm looking at, I heard what she said, and I just want to make it clear that our hunting management plan has been thoroughly evaluated and meets the objectives of not just the IWC, which is the International Whale Commission, but also the MMPA. This was evaluated by the Scientific Committee of the International Whale Commission, which is international experts. So when we're talking about Western North Pacific gray whales, I want it to be clear that scientifically, there is a 1 in 170-year chance of us actually striking a Western North Pacific gray whales. Also, our hunt is set up in different seasonal, even in odd years. And this is set up in a way to avoid the migration patterns or reduce risk, minimize risks on stocks of concern, I guess you would call them. So that's kind of a misleading statement from her. And once again, this is all thoroughly vetted through science. And I guess ultimately it comes back to law. And I'm still kind of, I always come back to the treaty right. And I don't understand why not just macaw, but all tribes seem to always be on the defensive and have to be explaining ourselves and why we should be obeying the law. Now, a treaty right is, Article 6 of the Constitution lays it out clearly, supreme law of the land. They're not a novelty item.
So here's Mr. Fine-Dupeau, here's what a listener, Belinda, writes on the page. At the time the treaty was written, we didn't understand as much about whales as we do now. There's significant data indicating whales are sentient. Killing whales, whether for tradition or science, is shameful. And she says, would you acquiesce to killing humans for food if it was an old tribal tradition? So she's equating whales with human beings. Your response to that sentiment?
My response to that sentiment is I feel another person is trying to impose their beliefs or their opinion or their emotional position on another group of people, another marginalized group of people. And honestly, that's ridiculous. We're talking about would we kill humans? Is there a treaty right that actually says legal to kill humans? Is that something that can be compared? We're talking about treaty rights here with the federal government. We're talking about a negotiation with the federal government. We're not talking about killing somebody. And then when you talk about animals, we're not out here. The whale itself is put on a pedestal in my community. I mean, the significance of what it means to us, it's something that's so powerful and so strong amongst the members of my community that we don't look at it as, compare it to killing a pig. It's not in the same light as that. Now, a pig is also a very intelligent creature.
Patrick, I want to thank you for being with us. That's Patrick Fine-Dupeau of the Macaw Tribal Council. He's treasurer of the organization. And the Macaw seeking the right to resume whaling with 2 to 3 whales taken per year. The federal government reviewing that application right now. The tribe has not hunted a whale since 1999. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. We are 230 members away from fulfilling the $10,000 challenge on this Giving Tuesday. Won't you please help right now at 866-888-5722 or kpecc.org. Back in 1 minute.